to Washington, D.C., where it was not a pleasant day for Attorney General Eric Holder on Capitol Hill yesterday, answering questions about the IRS singling out groups with conservative political affiliations to possibly stall or deny IRS tax-exempt status.
To the extent that there are enforcement gaps that we find, we will let this committee know and hopefully work with this committee to make sure that what happened and was outrageous, as I've said, and if we have to bring criminal actions so that that kind of action, that kind of activity does not happen again.
Pledges by Attorney General Holder to close enforcement gaps was clearly not enough, though, for Republican House Judiciary Committee member Representative Ted Poe of Texas.
I'm just asking you, do you think maybe that would help restore some credibility in your department if you set that aside and said, we're going to get a special prosecutor to clear this whole air and find out exactly what's going on in the government?
Calls for a special prosecutor are not expected to formally materialize outside of Congressman Poe's rhetoric. Nevertheless, President Obama was in full damage control mode over this one yesterday.
Yesterday, I directed Secretary Liu to follow up on the IG audit to see how this happened and who was responsible and to make sure that we understand all the facts. Today, Secretary Liu took the first step by requesting and accepting the resignation of the acting commissioner of the IRS.
One resignation down, more to go. Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick joins us. Where do we stand, Todd?
Hey, John. Well, that was the first head to roll. That was Stephen T. Miller. He is acting director of the IRS, or at least was, until the president and the secretary of the treasury demanded his resignation yesterday. It seems unlikely that Miller will be the last head to roll. Now, let's keep in mind also, Stephen T. Miller was not in charge when this inappropriate targeting of Tea Party and conservative groups by the tax-exempt division went on at the IRS. The problem with Miller, aside from the fact that he's heading that agency and a head has to roll probably for political reasons, is that he was asked repeatedly by members of Congress over the last year or year and a bit about complaints from the Tea Party groups that this was going on. He assured members of Congress that it wasn't. And once he did know that it was going on because the tax exempt division told him, he didn't go back and tell those members of Congress what he knew after they had repeatedly asked him. Now, John, let me play for you Speaker of the House John Boehner, who spoke to reporters yesterday morning before President Obama announced that Stephen T. Miller was being forced to resign. He doesn't think it's enough.
Now, my question isn't about who's going to resign. My question is, who's going to jail over this scandal?
I guess, what is the criminal charge here? Boehner's rhetoric is often filled with hyperbole, but would there be a specific criminal charge?
John Boehner's not alone, by the way, in rhetoric being charged with hyperbole, of course. But we don't know that yet, and that is what Eric Holder was trying to answer in the Judiciary Committee yesterday. Eric Holder isn't in charge of the IRS, so none of this is his bailiwick. But the criminal probe into what happened is that investigation is just beginning. Eric Holder assuring Republican, in particular Republican members of the committee, that they would not focus just on a small group of bureaucrats in Cincinnati, which the administration initially said was responsible for this, but would look nationwide, including in Washington, as high as this goes, in assuring members of the committee that this investigation in the IRS would go wherever the facts take them. So we have to wait and see.
And let's just remind people that the whole investigation centers around the IRS singling out in searches words like Patriot and Tea Party as a way of categorizing organizations looking for tax-exempt status and seeming to target the right-wing organizations while possibly leaving left-wing organizations alone. The criminal issue here would be if there's a giant conspiracy that goes all the way to the White House and if a bureaucrat actually got some sort of kickback by favoring institutions that he or she had a stake in. Is that pretty much laid out?
Possibly. I mean, the law does not allow political motivations in the IRS's determinations of this kind. So if you could show somebody knowingly said, I don't like Tea Party groups, let's try to hamper them or weaken them, therefore we'll do this, that would potentially be criminal. There's no evidence of that yet. The evidence, the people involved in this inappropriate targeting say it was just for convenience. We had a flood of these requests. They were mostly coming from these groups. This was a way for us to add scrutiny because the law is also murky about who can be tax exempt over 501c4,
right.
Sort of a separate issue. So they were saying it was just for convenience. It wasn't for politics. Let's also just remember that nobody was denied their tax exempt status. They were just given extra scrutiny on the front end, give us more information, which they found harassing and did complain to their members of Congress about as long as more than a year ago.
And there was a delay, but that is a takeaway that we should keep in mind. The neutrality of the IRS violating that does have potential criminal consequences if we find that out. Now, it seems to me that it's not just a right-left Republican-Democrat fiasco for the administration this week. There's a whole smorgasbord of issues that lawmakers are looking at here if they want to criticize the White House. Members of Congress on the Democratic side aren't happy about this Associated Press story that broke.
No, they really aren't. This is the Associated Press following leads in a leak investigation, which led them to obtain phone records, 2 months of phone records from Associated Press reporters all over town in New York and including in the House Press Gallery where I work. Now, this led Chuck Schumer, who's a Democrat from New York, to resurrect an idea that he had back during the Bush administration when Judith Miller of the New York Times went to jail because she wouldn't give up her sources on the Valerie Plame story. Listen to Schumer, who wants to resurrect his media shield law.
I don't know the facts of this specific case, but I do know this, that everyone would have felt a lot better had there been an independent arbiter as to whether any information should be required of the AP and how much, how broad the request should be.
No talk of investigations at this point, though, on the AP story, Todd?
There are going to be hearings on the Hill. The White House has also asked for the resurrection of this media shield law, coincidentally, yesterday after they're taking fire for this. There is no indication that it necessarily would have stopped what happened with the AP, but a judge would have had to decide on the breadth of that subpoena and whether or not it was appropriate.
And if the president's talking about shield laws, there's more damage control there. Boy, I guess the whole House and Senate has forgotten about Benghazi at this point, right?
Oh, they have not forgotten about it. There will be more hearings on Benghazi for sure. 100 emails released by the White House yesterday on Benghazi, John, trying to put to bed the idea that the White House orchestrated a political cover-up of talking points saying that terrorists were involved. The emails seem to put that to rest, that this was sort of a fight between the CIA, the intelligence community, and the State Department, with the White House kind of mediating between them. But it wasn't really about politics. It was about keeping mentions of Al-Qaeda out of the public because they say they just didn't know it was true at that point.
Thanks so much. Todd Zwillick on the case in Washington, D.C. Thanks, Todd.
Pleasure.
Next on The Takeaway, we will learn the lessons from Oregon and Massachusetts. We'll hear from both states trying to implement the Affordable Care Act. This is The Takeaway.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.